Hey, all, Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new ebook by longtime Future Freedom author Scott McPherson. Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. This is the definitive principled case in favor of gun rights and against gun control. America is exceptional. Here the people come first, and we refuse to allow the state a monopoly on firearms. Our liberty depends on it. Get Scott McPherson's Freedom and Security, the Second Amendment and the Right to Keep and Bear Arms on Kindle at Amazon.com today. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. Next up is Nick Giambruno. He is the senior editor at Doug Casey's Casey Research, internationalman.com. Welcome back to the show, Nick. How are you doing?
Great. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're fine. I just forgot to hit the button was the only reason I couldn't hear you.
Oh, great.
Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You know, I think that's the first time I've actually ever done that particular screw up where I forgot to even call. A lot of times I might forget to turn the, you know, hit the button on the board here, but that's different. Anyway, happy to have you back on the show. And I like the title of this, Revealed, The Hidden Agenda of Davos 2016. And, you know, I don't know if it was even on C-SPAN. I didn't get a chance to try to watch any of these, you know, self-appointed rulers of the world up there, giving their speeches. But you seem to think that, you seem pretty certain that there's a lot more going on than what they admit to the cameras anyway.
Yes. And here's the evidence for it. I just decided to connect the dots after I got a flood of articles from the New York Times, The Economist, Zero Hedge, other publications. All of a sudden, there is this big acceleration in this call to eliminate cash or eliminate high denomination currency notes. And I decided to put the pieces of the puzzle together and the timing of this, and it all goes back to this January 2016 conference in Davos. And if your listeners aren't familiar, this is a conference that happens every year where it happens in the open. This is not some sort of secret meeting or anything like that. People who are leaders in business, in government, in media, even some celebrities go to these events, and they talk about the issues of the day. Some of the meetings do actually happen behind closed doors, but it's not the actual event itself is out in the open. But if you look at the events that happen during and after this, it's quite striking. So I hadn't seen anybody really put it together in a timeline, so I thought I'd do it myself, and I think it really paints a compelling picture. So for example, you know, the financial world was shocked a few weeks ago when Japan decided to take its interest rates negative for the first time ever. And this came after the head of the Japanese central bank had repeatedly denied that he even was planning to do this. Well, he went out to this Davos conference in late January, and he came back a few days later, and he implemented negative interest rates. Okay, well, that's you know, looks like something might have changed his mind at that conference, but it was hardly an isolated incident. You have a bunch of other related events that happened. You have the CEO of Deutsche Bank calling for the elimination of cash. You have Norway's biggest bank essentially doing the same thing. And then you have the editorial board of Bloomberg call, you know, the title was Bring on the Cashless Future. And, you know, you can imagine what that the thrust of that article was. Financial Times had a piece that came out very similar. And then Harvard jumped on board and put out a paper talking about the need to eliminate high denomination notes like the $100 bill and the 500 euro note. And you know, over and over, we see a lot of this, but it all really started to accelerate, you know, it just went into overdrive after this Davos meeting. I can't conclusively prove it, but I think there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that points in that direction.
And in fact, you even say that they admit that they have very private meetings there, you know, along with their very public ones too.
That part of it
isn't a secret. Just what happens at the secret meeting is.
Precisely, and that's out in the open. It's in the BBC and in other.
All right, so your point is very well taken here. That, and this sounds like crankery. I, you know, whoever heard of negative interest rates and outlawing cash. It sounds like kind of a fringe thing. You're countering that by saying we're talking about the most powerful people in the world, or their representatives in media and their lackeys in government are the ones proposing this. This is something to take very seriously. And we'll get to all the reasons why, which I know you're good at explaining as well.
Oh, but, can I just stop you for a second?
Sure.
You don't have to take my word at it. Take their word at it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're citing, you know, all of these sources to show these are the most powerful people saying this. But so my question is this: if the banks rule everything, and especially the nation states, then why are they allowing the government to engage in this policy that seems like it's tailor-made to destroy their business, to force all of their depositors to take their money right out of the bank then? You're going to charge me money just for having it sit there and pay me not just no interest, but actually, and not just all your fines and fees, you nickel and dime me to death, you banker bastards. But now you're going to give me negative interest rates too? Then isn't that, on the, just the face of it, Nick, horrible for the banks? And why would they tolerate this insane policy?
It is horrible for the banks. And they would tolerate it because that's not the end of the story. The other component of this, the evil twin brother of negative interest rates, is the war on cash. The people who are pushing negative interest rates are fully aware of this. So, you know, if interest rates are negative in the situation you just described, well, a lot of people would rather take the money out of the bank and put it under the mattress than suffer, you know, basically a penalty or a tax on saving money. I mean, how in the heck are you going to save for retirement with negative interest rates? So the economic central planners know this, and that's why the war on cash has been really ramped up, kind of in tandem with the spread of negative interest rates around the world. So here's the thing: if people start withdrawing money from the banks, the banking system is very fragile. Most people don't even put a thought into this, but thanks to the fractional reserve banking system, there's not a lot of cash at the banks, whether that exists in digital form or in paper form. So if people start pulling money out of the banks en masse, it won't take much to bring the whole thing down. So their solution is to make accessing cash harder and in some cases illegal. I mean, if you look at various countries around Europe, France, for example, it is now illegal to do cash transactions over 1,000 euros without, you know, documenting it properly. And this, they're just doing all of these things that make it more and more inconvenient or flat out illegal to use cash. And that has the effect of keeping the cash in the banking system. So that makes the banks happy in that they don't have to worry about bank runs, because there's no bank run if you can't withdraw your cash. So I think that's the answer to your question.
Yeah. Well, man, is anybody besides you making the privacy argument here, too, that I think you cite Ron Paul here saying, geez, this is the IRS's dream come true. And this is, I like, it's kind of a joke to me, but still, the point is made, I think. This is the slavery of Satan right out of the book of Revelations, you know. This is the worst slavery could possibly be, where nobody could buy or sell anything to anyone without it going on their permanent record.
Oh yeah, it's truly horrifying, and you don't necessarily need to be a religious person to see that either. But yes, this is what it's coming to, and you know, it's the government's dream. And how do they justify it? I mean, it's completely ridiculous, and anybody who can you know, think critically and independently can see right through this. You know, they're saying, oh well, terrorists use cash and drug dealers use cash, so we have to get rid of it or make it harder to use.
Yeah, what are you trying to hide from us, Nick?
Yeah, but no, I think people, and you know, it's unfortunate, but most people don't remember how privacy is really an aspect of it's a fundamental human right. It's necessary to keep human dignity, and it's necessary in a free society. And unfortunately, a lot of people have forgotten that.
All right, y'all, hold it right there. We'll be right back with Nick Giambruno from internationalman.com. Hey, Al Scott here. The Ciceronian Society is an interdisciplinary group devoted to the timeless themes of place, tradition, and things divine. You are invited to their 6th annual conference to hear 2 days of papers on important thinkers from Plato and St. Benedict to John Locke, Hayek, and Henry David Thoreau. The conference is March 10th through 12th in historic Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. less than 2 hours from D.C. and Baltimore. Register at CiceroneanSociety.com.
Superior blends of premium coffee, roasted fresh in Zionsville, Indiana. Darren's Coffee satisfies the casual and the connoisseur. Scott Horton Show listeners, visit Darren'sCoffee.com and use the coupon code SCOTT at checkout for free shipping. Darren'sCoffee.com. Because everyone deserves to drink great coffee.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. I'm on the line with Nick Giambruno, which I'm sorry, man. I'm sure I'm probably pronouncing that pretty badly.
No, you got it right.
Yeah, no, okay, cool. All right, that's Casey Research, international man. He is a senior editor there. How a witch doctor convinces everyone he's a neurosurgeon, that's one. You know, I got a story like that, but I'll save it. Reveal the hidden agenda of Davos 2016 and the world's first cashless society. These are all important articles for you to read at internationalman.com. And now, Nick, so here's the thing, man, is I'm not an international man and an investment advisor, and I just don't understand these things. So you're going to have to make me understand. These guys' idea is that they want to make reverse interest rates. Not only are they paying you almost nothing to keep your money in your account, but they're going to punish you for keeping money in your account. But then they're going to blackmail you into keeping your money in the bank account anyway by trying to outlaw cash and make it impossible for you to take out, well, bills large enough to do anything important with. But then, so doesn't that completely defeat the whole point of doing the negative interest rates in the first place, which is this stupid policy of trying to stimulate the economy by forcing people to spend the money?
Well, no, they'll just spend the money through electronic means that are tracked, controlled, and taxed to the maximum. So that's what they'll do there. They're counting on people to not just sit there. You know, if you have $1,000 in the bank and you lose 50 bucks a year or five, you know, 50 bucks a year, you're gonna spend it. And, you know, especially if you extrapolate that.
So the point isn't whether you're keeping your money at the bank. The point is whether you're spending your money through the bank and using their card to do it, et cetera, like that.
Oh, sure. Cause then just think of the information that's available, to them there. It's really, not just the, IRS's dream. It's the NSA's dream too.
Well, sure. And, you know, it's funny, man, for me, and I know, I guess it probably sounds stupid, but I was so paranoid about this kind of thing back in, like, 1994 that I was completely done being concerned about it, like, 10 years ago or more. but now, here it is again. The idea that you're really going to have no choice but to always, every time you buy anything, it has to be on the record, or else you're basically, you know, giving probable cause for a full-scale investigation of what it is that you're up to. You know, reducing anybody who wants to be slightly free to a barter economy and poverty. But here it is. Seems like that's what they're going for.
Well, the good news is they haven't won yet, and there is some hopeful signs here, and in a couple of cases we've seen counter editorials in big newspapers like the Wall Street Journal just come out and say that this is ridiculous and, you know, make the same criticisms that you and I would make. But unfortunately, among the opinion makers and, you know, the economists at these publications, it's a minority opinion, but, you know, there is some resistance to it, and they haven't completely done gone forward with some of these ideas yet. We can still use the $100 bill, you know, we can still use cash, but the momentum, it's clear to see where the momentum is going. So the good news is there's still time to fight this, and there's still time to take action to protect yourself. And I think it's very simple how to protect yourself. The way to win the war on cash is to own gold and silver, physical gold and silver within your possession. Those are forms of money that are not going to be susceptible to negative interest rates and so forth. So, and they're accepted anywhere in the world. You take a gold coin anywhere in the world and they'll recognize its value, whether it's Canada, North Korea, Mexico, anywhere in Europe. It's recognized around the world. So I think it's really going to push people into precious metals.
Yeah. Well, and then so there's possibilities for bubbles even in the metals then when it comes down to it, right?
I think so. You know, we'll have to see how this plays out over the next few years. But another thing to mention is that just for them to consider such a radical and extreme thing as banning cash and you know, trumpeting it in all of these publications and in Harvard and so forth, I think it shows they're desperate. This is not a move they would consider if they were confident in the economy and their grip on the economy. Yeah. I think it's a sign of desperation. And another thing too is that there's another sort of psychological component to this war on cash. Well, I forgot to mention this earlier in the program. A few weeks after this Davos conference, Monopoly, the game, you know, the classic game that people would play, you know, where you have cash and you buy properties and so forth. Well, they announced that Monopoly will no longer feature cash. You're going to have a bank card when you decide to buy Baltic Avenue or something like that, or the railroad. So there's a psychological component, you know, they're trying to push people into getting used to not using cash anymore. And I think that is certainly part of it.
Yeah. Well, and you can certainly see how it's the basis for a total police state where, you know, I knew an old hippie lady who had once dated a weed grower out in California or something. And she had sued and gotten her FBI file. And it was huge. And they'd been following her to the store and following her to all her friends' houses and this and that. We're talking like 1968 or whatever, 72 or I don't know, back in old days. But the thing is, all they got to do to compile that kind of, you know, FBI file level investigation of anyone at any time is the stroke of a key. Because it's all already pre-investigated itself and laid itself right down on the record. So they just type in your name and hit enter. And here's everything we know about Nick from every database we have access to, which is a hell of a lot.
Yeah, well, I think there's another edge to that story, too. Technology can definitely aid the state in that kind of stuff. But technology is also a very good thing for the individual. We look at things like Bitcoin, encryption, and all sorts of these distributed technologies, 3D printing. So I think it's a tug of war. I don't think the outcome is certain. I don't think it's completely hopeless. And I just look at, you know, for example, BitTorrent, and they have tried to shut down BitTorrent for over 15 years. And I, you know, anybody can still go on and get whatever they want on BitTorrent. So I think there is a ray of hope that, you know, they can't shut these things down. And, you know, we'll see if they're able to really push us towards a cashless society and are successful at that. Well, that would be a big victory for the bad guys. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And, you know, it's cool, too, about the technology that, well, for one example, and I know there's more, you mentioned Bitcoin, but one of my favorites, and I'm not just being, I hope, a hollow shill here, but I really mean it, is the commodity disc, where my friend Arlo Pignotti got these silver coins, and they're embedded with a QR code where you just scan it with your phone, and it'll take you immediately to the website and tell you the instant spot price. So at any time, if you want to, you whip out that gold or silver coin, as you talked about, that you could take with you, you know, any place in America or any place in the world. Not only that, you could scan it with your phone and tell them exactly what it's worth right now on the market when you're exchanging it. And that kind of thing, it seems like that kind of thing makes, you know, cash and all, you know, the bank digits obsolete. Why do we need them at all when we can trade gold and silver coins with each other and know exactly what they're trading for at any moment?
Well, I think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head here, and that the solution is to not restrict options for people to choose what kind of money they'd like to use, but to take away those restrictions. Let the market decide what kind of money people would want to. Get rid of these ridiculous legal tender laws that force you to use Federal Reserve notes and really let the people vote with their money. And I think if we did that, it's clear that we would see some alternative forms, whether it's gold, silver, or some sort of mix between a cryptocurrency and a commodity currency like gold or silver come into being.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know everything in the world about Bitcoin. I know there's a lot of great things about it, and I don't know if it's Bitcoin or something else, but it certainly points the way toward peer-to-peer making Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase absolutely obsolete. I mean, what could they possibly do other than fleece me? Why would I want to do business with them ever when I can just send money direct?
Oh, absolutely. That's a wonderful thing because these big banks are a are at this point just appendages of the U.S. government. They're not entities of free market, of the free market. They're entities of crony capitalism and economic fascism. So anything that does away with them, the better.
All right, y'all. That is Nick Giambruno. He writes for Doug Casey's group. It's internationalman.com, Casey Research. And this one is The World's First Cashless Society is Here, a Totalitarian's Dream Come True, and Revealed, the Hidden Agenda of Davos 2016. Thanks very much for coming back on the show, Nick. Good to talk to you.
Anytime, Scott.
Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way, the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org. /Amazon. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for MPV Engineering. This isn't for all of you, but for high-end contractors specializing in industrial construction and end users who own and operate industrial equipment, MPV offers licensed professional consulting on chemical and mechanical engineering for your projects. Tanks, pressure vessels, piping, heat exchangers, HVAC equipment, chemical reactors for oil companies or manufacturing facilities, as well as project management support and troubleshooting for those implementing designs. MPV will get your industrial project up and running. Head over to mpvengineering.com. Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org.